Welcome back to the Book of James, chapter 1 today, with some of the best practical wisdom you'll find anywhere. More specifically, wisdom for trials. James opened the letter with a call to maturity, and that maturity comes by trials of many kinds. James tells us to consider those trials pure joy, because you know God is working in you. Your perseverance is how you mature. But what should you do? Trials need action, decisions. We need wisdom. So James says, ask God for wisdom. And the rest of chapter 1 is some great wisdom on what to do, beginning in verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. That means trust. When you ask for wisdom, trust that God cares and God answers. Now, some doubt can be useful. Doubt the easy way and the too good to be true. But trust God's concern for you. You asked, He will answer. Might not be an easy or comfortable answer, but it will be good. When we ask God but doubt His faithfulness, we miss out on God's purpose for the trial, which is to grow our faith. James calls it double-minded because we believe God, just not for this. Now, many of our trials are money trials. More money, more problems. Less money, still more problems. So in verse 9, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. The phrase take pride literally means to glory in something. You know that amazing feeling you get when you accomplish something? You know that amazing feeling you get when you accomplish something? Head held high, feet 6 inches off the ground, high five, you did it. Believer, if your circumstances and finances are humble, they're just circumstances. You are God's son, God's daughter. Lift your head and glory in who you are. Then in verse 10, he tells the rich to find that same high five, take pride, glory feeling in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. The Greek word humiliation here describes that moment when you realize how little you are, how temporary is your wealth. It all fades. And there's glory in that, because in that realization is freedom. The shackles of wealth come loose when you let go of fleeting riches and grab hold of real glory. It's the freedom of Zacchaeus, the freedom that turns takers into givers. Then in verse 12, James sheds light on two distinct paths that stand before us every time we face a trial, perseverance and temptation. Let's read. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Two paths roll out before you. On the right, perseverance. It's a tough climb, but you know where it ends, with life, a crown of life. That crown is victory. But oh man, that road on the left is so much easier. And doesn't God want that for you? Why would he put it there if he didn't want that? Verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Hey, you. Yeah, you. The one staring down Temptation Avenue. Snap out of it. Stop lying to yourself and stop making excuses about how God brought you here. Back to reality. Here's how Temptation Avenue really works. James says, God didn't bring you here. Your own evil desire dragged you here. So stop staring at the first 50 yards of easy downhill and look ahead at what desire will do. Verse 15. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, there's a graphic picture. Temptation Row goes from desire to sin to death. Verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If it's good, it's from God. If it's from God, it's good. The road he calls you to is chock full of trials of all kinds, and it's good. A perfect gift isn't flawless or without hardship. Perfect here means good to the end. God's destination for you is good, and even the trials that get you there are worked for your good. God doesn't shift shadows to fool you. His path is light. In verse 18, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. I like that phrase, through the word. God birthed us, gave us new life through His word, and that life has a destination that is good. Then in verse 19, some of the best wisdom for trials you'll find anywhere. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Wow. Back that up and repeat it till you memorize it. Verse 19 is your traffic light. Have you ever driven into a dangerous intersection without a light? When you face trials and you talk, check the traffic light. Someone is speaking. Green light, quick to listen. Quick means attentive. Trials are complicated. You ask God for wisdom. Now listen when others speak, especially those who think different. Get some perspective. Don't accept or agree blindly, but listen. You have something to say. Yellow light, slow to speak. Think first. Measure the cost of your words. You won't get them back. In the heat of trials, words can be weapons. Check your words. Are they grace? Are they humble? Will they build up or tear down? Don't just say it because you feel it. Slow down. If you're not sure about saying it, sleep on it. You'll save a ton of heartache. But what if they say something and it hurts? Red light, slow to anger. Stop the car and look at the road ahead. What is it about anger that makes you want to hit the gas pedal? But this is an intersection, and your anger is sending you into oncoming traffic. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. In verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Righteousness, that means right in God's sight. And in your trial, it represents the right destination that you're asking God to help you find. Your anger in your flesh will not get you there. Love is self-controlled. Now, James doesn't say, don't speak. Psalm 82, defend the weak and the fatherless, and uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed. Proverbs 31, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Yes, there is a time to speak, but in an argument when they care about people and you care about people, but one is on the left and the other on the right, slow down. Three little things. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You might learn something. Better yet, you might actually accomplish something together. And to help us achieve God's purpose, James calls us to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. God's word is a seed. You got to clear the junk from your mind so the word has room to grow. You asked for wisdom for this trial? Clear the filth and trust God to answer through His word. And when you hear it, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Okay, another mandatory memory verse. Listening to God's word is good, but dangerous. Remember how trials are like weightlifting. They break down your faith. After the workout, you eat protein to build it back. And the protein to rebuild faith is God's word. Peter calls it milk and meat. But if you think listening to the word is the end of your task, you're lying to yourself. James says that's like looking in a mirror, seeing a mess, and doing nothing. You walk away with your hair crazy, face filthy, and teeth spinachy. Apparently, you thought the mirror magically fixes your appearance. It doesn't. God's word just shows you, then you put in the work. Now read carefully. 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, look intently at the law. What law? The perfect law. That means the completed one. The Old Testament law was not complete. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and He told us that love summarizes all the law. That is the perfect law that James tells us to look intently at, the only law that gives freedom. Old Testament law enslaved us. The law of love frees us. So continue in it. Do it and be blessed in what you do. James contrasts that with people who consider themselves religious. You know, church people. But these church people do not keep a tight rein on their tongues. They are quick to speak. James says their religion is worthless. Religion here means outward expressions of worship. The Bible uses the word religion just 5 times. 4 of those 5 are negative, going through rituals without really changing your heart. But just 1 time, it's positive. Verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now there's a religious routine that God respects. Love people in need and keep yourself clean. Read James 1, and I'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, 1 chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.